हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो वेलकम बैक टू विद्यापीठ आफ्टर वृंदावन यात्रा। 10th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 50। सो टुडे वी विल कंप्लीट दिस 50th चैप्टर एंड हैव ए ब्रीफ ओवरव्यू ऑफ 21st चैप्टर टिल 50th चैप्टर एंड टुमारो इवनिंग वील हैव ग्रैंड टेस्ट on this chapter, 30 chapters. And day after tomorrow onwards, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu will speak on Muchikunda and Rukmini episodes for the rest of the week. We'll begin with text number 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Asti Praptischa Kamsasya Mahishyau Bharatarshabha मृते बृहद् मृते भर्तरि दुःखार्ते यातुः स्म पितुर्गृहान्।
सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड, व्हेन कंसा वाज किल्ड, ओ हीरोइक डिसेंडेंट ऑफ भारत, हिज टू क्वींस असिति एंड प्राप्ति वेंट टू देयर फादर्स हाउस इन ग्रेट डिस्ट्रेस।
Till 49th chapter, we have discussed about how Krishna came to Mathura and killed Kamsa and his associates and made Ugrasena the king. Now, after discussing that killing of Kamsa episode, Sukadeva Goswami discusses the next activities of Krishna, which are, pacifying Gokul by sending Uddhava there and seeing about Pandavas, right? He had sent Akrura to Pandavas to pacify them. To Queen Kunti Maharani, Akrura spoke to Kunti Maharani and then she was pacified. So he was kind of taking care of devotees, right? After the killing episode. Now, Sukadeva Goswami shifts to this episode. What's happening with the negative people, right? So Krishna, after killing Kamsa, took care of his devotees. So now what happened to his enemies? By killing Kamsa, Krishna created some more enemies. So Kamsa's relatives are Jarasandha, right? Jarasandha is one of the most prominent negative role and comical role also, comical character in Krishna's pastimes. So he happens to be the father-in-law of Kamsa. His daughters Asti and Prapti were married to Kamsa. So Asti and Prapti, they could not stay in Mathura anymore. Because their husband was not there, why should we live here? And this entire place is occupied by our enemies. So their husband Kamsa was against Vasudeva, Devaki, Ugrasena and his wife and Krishna and party. And Kamsa was killed and all these people have taken over that place. So Asti and Prapti could not find any place in Mathura. So they went to their father's place. So whenever a woman cannot find shelter in husband's place, or her immediate option would be to go to father. And Jarasandha is very affectionate towards his daughters, Asti and Prapti. So he got the best son-in-law, Kamsa, who could defeat Kovalaya Peda also, who could just pick up Kovalaya Peda and throw him for 80 miles. So that is the prowess of Kamsa. So Jarasandha was impressed by Kamsa and gave his dearest daughters, Asti and Prapti, to Kamsa. And now Kamsa is killed. So Jarasandha's biggest enemy now is Krishna and Balaram also. So Asti and Prapti went there. So Sukadeva Goswami could have discussed more about the consoling of Gokul and Pandavas till 49th chapter and beyond also. But he shifts focus towards this battles episode. From now onwards, we'll discuss a series of battles that happened. You know, Krishna's role as a prince of Mathura and Dwaraka is seen here now. So cowherd pastimes, so they came to an end. And acharyas also explain that these are the human pastimes of Krishna. Right? So Asti and Prapti could not have any more attachment to husband's house. They went to father's house. Pitare Magadha Rajaya Jarasandhaya Dukhite Vedayam Chakratu Sarvam Atmavaidhavya Karanam.
The sorrowful queens told their father, King Jarasandha of Magadha, all about how they had become widows.
So Pitare Magadha Rajaya. So Jarasandha was the king of Magadha. Magadha is currently Bihar. He was the king of Bihar at that time. So Jarasandhasya Dukhite. So with great distress they went to Jarasandha and they spoke about how they have become widows. Atma Vaidhavya Karanam. So we have become vidhavas, means widows. So what was the reason? The reason was Krishna and Balaram came from Vrindavan to Mathura and killed our husband. So they narrated all the incidents. Next. Satad apriyama karanya sokamarshayuto nrupa ayadavim mahim kartum chakre paramamudyamam.
Hearing this odious news, O king, Jarasandha was filled with sorrow and anger, and he began the greatest possible endeavor to rid the earth of the Yadavas.
So Jarasandha felt very sorrowful and angry, and he wanted to remove all Yadavas from this surface of earth. So Krishna descended to remove all the demoniac kings from the planet earth. So Jarasandha is having exactly opposite plan. Krishna descended with his Yadu dynasty to kill others, demoniac people. And Jarasandha, who is a prominent of demoniac people, he wants to destroy the Yadu dynasty from earth, which is not possible. Fourth verse. Akshauhini bhir vimshatya Trishrubhir chapi samvrita Yadurajadhanim Mathuram Nyarudhat Sarvatodisham.
With a force of 23 Akshoni divisions, he laid siege to the Yadu dynasty Mathura on all sides.
23 Akshohini divisions came to attack Mathura. And till now, Jarasandha did not attack Krishna. So Krishna killed long back. Krishna killed Kamsa long back. But Jarasandha waited till now. Because other references say that Jarasandha did not want to attack very small children. So Krishna and Balaram were like 10-11-year-old boys. So now they went to Sandipan Muni's ashram. They have learned so many things. They stayed for a long time and then they returned to Mathura. So now Jarasandha is attacking. So 23 Akshohini divisions. So one Akshohini is given in the word-to-word meaning 21,870 soldiers on elephants. Then 21,870 charioteers. 65,610 chivalrymen. So there are other infantry soldiers. This is one calculation. This is one Akshohini. Like that, multiplied by 23. So that many people came. So Jiva Goswami and even Harivamsa, Jiva Goswami's commentary and Harivamsa discuss the details of how Jarasandha's army attacked Mathura city, surrounded Mathura city. So they were coming on all sides, not from one gate, all sides. From all sides they were attacking. So now the human pastimes of Krishna are described from 5th and 6th verses. Nirikshatadbalam Krishna Udvelam Ivasagaram Svapuram Tena Samruddham Svajanam Chabhayakulam Chintayamasa Bhagavan Harihkaranamanusha Taddeshakala Nugudam Svavatara Prayojanam.
Although Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original cause of this world, when he descended to the earth, he played the role of a human being. Thus, when he saw Jarasandha's assembled army surrounding his city like a great ocean overflowing its shores, and when he saw how this army was striking fear into his subjects, the Lord considered what his suitable response should be according to the time, place and specific purpose of his current incarnation.
So Jarasandha's army was like an ocean, and Mathura has become like an island. Just like an island is surrounded by waters, Mathura is surrounded by army of Jarasandha. So it's like such a huge army surrounded this, apparently small city. So tad desha kalanugunam svavatara prayojanam. So Krishna, imitating the activities of an ordinary human being, started thinking. So whenever some calamity or some obstacle comes, then a human being would also think, what am I supposed to do now? Okay, how to tackle the situation? Option one, this is this. Option two, option three. So which option should I take? Okay, I'll consult some people. So that's how a person thinks, right? So it's not applicable so much to Krishna. He can immediately vanquish all of them in a second. But imitating human pastimes, Krishna started contemplating how to counteract this situation. Then, because now he had to act quickly also. Krishna need not worry, because the verse mentions tad desha kalanugunam svavatara prayojanam and harihi karana manushaha. He is karana manushaha. So karana means cause. So Krishna is the cause of all causes. Although he is karana, cause of all causes, he is acting like a manushaha, a human being. So karana also indicates elements, all the elements, the cause of all elements. Means Krishna's expansion is Purushavatara, Mahavishnu. So from him, all the elements are emanating, right? Second canto, that flowchart 2.5 and 3.6, right? So he is the source of all the elements. He is the greatest controller. Still, he is acting like a human being. So he had to contemplate, what am I supposed to do now? This play is called Leela. The Lord's enactment of spiritual pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. Although ordinary persons may be dumbfounded by Krishna's pastimes, the devotees derive tremendous pleasure from his imitating this style of behavior. Okay, inimitable style of behavior. Other people may think, hey, Krishna is also thinking, what am I supposed to do? How should I attack this army? Other people will think that he is also an ordinary human being. But when devotees see that, who have full understanding of Krishna as karana, they can understand Krishna's pastimes as manusha. So people will focus on that manusha aspect. They can neglect that karana aspect. Devotees understand the import of these two words, karana manushaha. So he has to act appropriately. Tad desha kalanugunam, according to time, place and circumstances, he would take a decision now. And svavatara prayojanam, he also considered, what is the prayojan, what is the purpose of my avatara? That is to destroy all these armies, to destroy all the demoniac people on the earth. So from 7th verse onwards, Krishna's thoughts are described. Hanishyami balam hyetad bhuvibharam samahitam Magadhena samanitam Vashyanam sarvabhubhujam Akshauhini bhishankhyatam Bhatashva ratha kunjaraihi Magadhastuna hantavyo Bhuyah karta balodhyamam.
Supreme Lord thought, since it is such a burden on the earth, I'll destroy Jarasandha's army consisting of Akshaunis, of foot soldiers, horses, chariots and elephants, which the king of Magadha has assembled from all subservient kings and brought together here. But Jarasandha himself should not be killed, since in the future he'll certainly assemble another army.
So Krishna's thoughts are, should I kill Jarasandha first? Should I kill his armies? Should I kill both? Should I leave one party and kill the other party only? What is the best action? So he was thinking, but finally he came to a conclusion, better I kill the army and keep him alive, so that he will gather some more miscreants and then bring here. So he will do the recruitment, so I will kill them also. So Krishna can predict the nature of a person. Once you defeat a person, a warrior, kshatriya, such an egoistic person like Jarasandha, he will not keep quiet. Again he will attack. That will give me another opportunity to kill more miscreants. So that is Krishna's master plan. So without moving out from Mathura, Krishna is killing so many armies, 23 Akshauhini divisions, multiplied by 17 times. So without moving, without endeavoring at all from his side. So Jarasandha is bringing all armies right at the doorstep of Krishna, and Krishna is killing them without much endeavor. So Krishna stick to this plan. So Jarasandha was so enthusiastic to bring all the demons to the Lord's front door. It was definitely more efficient to keep Jarasandha alive and busy. So a person who is doing a very great service should be accommodated. Right? Although he is having unfavorable intent, Krishna saw service attitude in Jarasandha. He is doing a lot of service. Although it's unfavorable service, that is service. So I should keep him alive. So Krishna kept him alive. Etat artho vataroyam bhubharaharanayame samrakshanaya sadhunam kritonyesham vadhayajam.
This is the purpose of my present incarnation, to relieve the earth of its burden, protect the pious and kill the impious.
So Krishna again considered the purpose of his incarnation. What was the purpose? Which was repeated several times in the first chapters, when demigods went and prayed to Krishna, please descend, demoniac kings, their rule has become very rampant in the earthly planet, so please descend. So that incarnation's purpose is again recollected by Krishna. So far he was kind of lost with his pastimes with Vrajvasis. That is very sweet. That's what Krishna would like to do, right, for the rest of eternity. Since time immemorial he has been doing it. But sometimes we have to, devotees distract him. Oh, here also some people are there, so please attend to them also. So Krishna is taking out his time to attend to ordinary conditioned souls also, by reducing the burden of earth. So etad artho vataroyam, etad artho, this is the purpose of my incarnation. What is that? One, bhubhara haranayame, I have to reduce the burden of earth, bhubhara. Second, samskaranaya sadhunam, and I have to protect sadhus. Samskaranaya means complete protection. Krishna gives complete protection to sadhus, not partial protection. Why? Because sadhus, devotees, spread bhakti. So the purpose of Krishna's descent is like one angle, right? One purpose of Krishna's descent is to kill the demons. But the purpose of entire creation of Krishna is to reclaim the conditioned souls. So, samskaranaya sadhunam becomes a very prominent reason for Krishna, Krishna's descent. Because when Krishna gives complete protection to sadhus, devotees, they spread bhakti. And thus they will assist Krishna in reclaiming the fallen conditioned souls. So devotees play a very important role in fulfilling the purpose of Krishna's creation. So Krishna has to protect them. Samskaranaya sadhunam. Samrakshanaya sadhunam. Third, kruto anyesham vadhaya cha. Kruto anyesham vadhaya cha. Anya means those who are other than sadhus. Asadhus means miscreants. Vadhaya cha. I have to kill them. So this is how I descended. So considering this, he took this action. Okay, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. 10th verse. Anyopi dharma rakshyai. Deha sam bhiryate maya. Viramaya pyadharmasya. Kale prabhavatah kvachit.
So assume other bodies to protect religion and to end a religion whenever it flourishes in the course of time.
So I also assume other bodies. Anyopi dharma rakshyayai deha sambhriyate maya. Sambhriyate means assuming. Deha, bodies. I have assumed other bodies also. For dharma rakshyayai, to protect dharma. What are the other bodies? Like Varahadev, Matsya, and you know there are some other incarnations. Parshuram. So here other bodies specifically mean the bodies of other species. The best example is Varahadev. Not only I am playing human pastimes like Rama, Krishna and Parashuram and other incarnations, I have assumed other bodies also, non-human bodies also, like Varahadev. For what? Dharma Rakshyayai. And I killed Hiranyaksha. And I assumed another strange body, which is a combination of human and non-human, that is Narasimhadev, to kill Hiranyaksha. And for what? Dharma Rakshyayai. So, Viramayapi Adharmasya, Viramayapi Adharmasya, to give Viram, rest, Adharma, you take rest. Okay, I am coming here, now you don't have a role to play, you take rest. Viramayapi Adharmasya, Kale Prabhavatah Kvachit. Because of influence of time, sometimes Adharma becomes prominent, and becomes like too prominent, Krishna has to descend, and establish dharma, re-establish dharma in any body. So this beautiful verse indicates that Krishna is the source of all incarnations. I have assumed other bodies also to protect dharma. Varahadev never, he would never say, I have assumed the form of Krishna also to protect dharma. But Krishna says, I have assumed the form of Varahadev to protect dharma. So Krishna is the source of all incarnations. This means the form of Krishna is the full manifestation of all powers. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. This is similar to that verse. Earlier verse is paritranaya sadhunam. Evam dhyayati govinda akashat surya varchasau ratha upasthitau sadhyah svasutau saparichhadau.
Sukadev Goswami continued, as Lord Govinda was thinking in this way, two chariots as effulgent as the sun suddenly descended from the sky. They were complete with drivers and equipment.
So, evam dhyayati Govinda. Govinda is doing this dhyan, this contemplation, this meditation. So, that his purpose of descent is to protect dharma. Akashat suryavarchasau rathav upasthitau sadhyaha. Sadhyaha, immediately. Rathav, some chariots descended, upasthit ho gaya. So they started manifesting some beautiful chariots. Surya varchasau, they were effulgent like sun, brilliant. Sasutau saparichhadau. Sasutau means driver, suta. Karana is called suta putra because he is a son of driver. chariot driver. So sutau sa parichadau, with all equipments and drivers, the two chariots descended immediately from Mahavaikuntha. Here sky refers spiritual world. Okay, not just the sky is like everywhere, ether. It doesn't come like that. From Vaikuntha they descended, two chariots. So the faithful devotees of the Lord derive tremendous pleasure by observing the Lord's incomparable technology. So now some enemies are attacking. For example, some country is there. That country is being attacked by other countries, right? Some enemy countries. So this country has to make some arrangements. They have to create weapons. They have to employ some people to make things. they have to get the people ready. But Krishna's technology is incomparable, inconceivable. Now, with absolutely no comparison with Jarasandha's army, Krishna and Balaram, only two people, with very few, just as a formality, few people accompanying them, they would go out to fight with all these Akshohini, 23 Akshohinis of Sena surrounding on all sides. Not from one side, from all sides of Mathura. To attack them, they came. And weapons, what kind of weapons they are having? They are descending from there. So they did not take from their military room, whatever, where they store weapons. So they descended from chariot. Immediately, whatever he wants will happen. This is technology of Krishna. So nobody can be more technologically advanced than Krishna, even in fighting also. 12th verse, Krishna speaks to Balaram. Ayudhani cha divyani puranani yadrucchaya drishtvatani hrishikeshah sankarshanam athabravit.
The Lord's eternal divine weapons also appeared before him spontaneously. Seeing these, Sri Krishna, Lord of the senses, addressed Lord Sankarsana.
Ayudhani cha divyani, divya, very divine. Divya means beyond material world. That kind of ayudha came. So these the weapons that Krishna and Balaram were using are not ordinary material weapons made here. Okay, they are made in spiritual world. They have made in China weapons, made in Italy weapons, made in US. They are made in spiritual world. Puranani means very ancient, means very eternal. Puranani here indicates eternal. These weapons are existing since time immemorial and they will continue to exist for the rest of eternity. So that is the track record of these beautiful weapons. They are not, they don't have a beginning and end. Puranani yadrichaya, they automatically came. He need not endeavor also. So ayudhani cha divyani puranani yadrichaya. Drishtva Tani, after seeing those weapons and chariots and chariot drivers and all the other equipment, Hrishikeshaha, Krishna spoke to Sankarsana, Abravit. Krishna spoke to Balram. So Sukadeva Goswami doesn't use that words. Krishna spoke to Balram. He says Hrishikesha spoke to Sankarsana. Why he uses these words? Hrishikesha means the controller of senses. Right? So Krishna was capable of doing everything even without words also, because he is master of senses. So he is Hrishikesha. He need not use his sense of speech to communicate things to Balram. But still, he does it. He spoke. He used his words to pass a communication, to pass a message to Sankarsana. That's how Hrishikesha word is used. Then Sankarsana. Why Sankarsana word is used? Because Balaram could destroy everything by his glance, right? Just by his glance, Balaramji can destroy everything with no effort. Still, he's going to fight now. Okay, Sankarsana. So the Lord's eternal divine weapons came here. And Krishna is also using logic while he's speaking. Under the influence of his Leela Shakti, with a desire to perform so many pastimes, Krishna is speaking logically now. He is using logic in his words. And what all weapons came? A plough came. Plough, the name of that plough is Samvartaka. We have Samvartaka clouds. So the name of Balramji's plow is also called Samvartaka. Then a pestle came. So pestle's name is Saunanda. Pestle means like you grind spices with a big wooden rod. In the traditional in our homes, we must have seen in our childhood. Now they are not, they are being replaced by mixers. Musal, correct. Correct. So they pound rice like that. So that came. That is all Balramji's paraphernalia. A bow came. Bow's name is Saranga. Then club's name is Kaumodaki. Chakra's name is Sudarshan. So Balramji also had a bow, that also came. So all these kinds of weapons came here to assist Krishna and Balaram in their pastimes. Pashyarya vyasanam praptam yadunam I tvavaram yadunam tvavatam prabho yeshate ratha ayato daitanya ayudhani cha etat artham hinau janma sadhunam isha sharma krit Trayovimshatyanikakhyam Bhumerbharam apakuru.
Supreme Lord said, my respected elder brother, see the stranger which has beset your dependents, the Yadus, and see, dear master, how your personal chariot and favorite weapons have come before you. The purpose for which we have taken birth, my Lord, is to secure the welfare of our devotees. Hmm. Please now remove from the earth the burden of these 23 armies.
So Krishna is speaking to Balramji. See, all these weapons have come in front of you. Eshate ratha ayato daitani ayudhani cha. So, my dear Balramji, see this chariot and weapons have descended to you. So Krishna is indicating, though you can do everything without weapons also, still you should accept these weapons and fight. Because daitani ayudhanicha, they are very dear to you. They are all persons, they are personalities. Although you can do everything on your own, but if you give them the service, they will feel happy. Right? A person can do all his services, all his things on his own. But if his disciple or his assistant is given the opportunity to do some service, they will also feel happy. So like that, you should engage weapons, although you can do everything on your own. So Krishna basically is not in need of somebody's service. But by serving him, we'll feel that pleasure. We'll get benefit. So we'll be it's beneficial for us. It's a glorious opportunity for us to be engaged in Krishna's service. It's not that Krishna is in need of that service. And Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, gives somebody an opportunity to serve. Not that he is in need of that service. As Krishna is indicating here. 15th verse. Evam sammantya dasharhau damsitau rathinau purat nirjagmatu sayudhadyau balenapi yashavritau.
After Lord Krishna had thus invited his brother, the two Dasarathas, Krishna and Balaram, wearing armor and displaying their resplendent weapons, drove out of the city in their chariots. Only a very small contingent of soldiers accompanied them.
Very few people accompanied them. And resplendent weapons they are carrying. So showing these weapons, they made the enemy tremble. Just by the darshan of all the weapons that they are having, Kaumodaki, pestle and other things, they got terrorized. And they are holding big weapons. All Jarasandha's army, they are holding very big weapons. But seeing these simple weapons like plow, so plow is just used for agriculture. Okay, not much. Right, pestle is used to grind some spices. Grind some wheat or rice. Seeing them, they got very scared, terrified. And Krishna and Balaram are wearing armor. They don't need that. Krishna doesn't even have to tie his waist belt also, tighten his waist belt also to fight, but still he fights. Right? Sometimes he doesn't do that to show that the opposite party is insignificant. You are nothing to me. I need not even tie my waist belt also. I can just come like this and then do. Okay? I can just do with my hand only, I can separate your head from your body. He does it with that washerman. But sometimes he does it also. Why? Just to encourage the enemy to fight. Right? If the enemy is already discouraged, by seeing the valor of Krishna and then confidence of Krishna, so where is the fun in fighting? Enemy also has to be encouraged to fight. Then Krishna will get little pleasure. So Kovalaya Peda, Krishna did not show his full prowess. Krishna made Kovalaya Peda run here and there, and sometimes he showed Kovalaya Peda that he is about to get defeated. Right? I am just about to stamp on you. So Kovalaya Peda felt like that. That's why Kovalaya Peda was encouraged to fight till the end. So to encourage the enemies also, sometimes Krishna shows this thing. And ultimately, however powerful an enemy may be, a demon may be, he cannot completely satisfy Krishna with his fighting spirit. Krishna's fighting spirit can be satisfied only by devotees. So Krishna killed all these fellows, Kamsa and all his brothers and Trinavarta and so many other demons in Vrindavan. But till Krishna went to Jambavan and fought with him for 28 days continuously, he never got the pleasure of fighting in his incarnation, in his pastimes. Only devotee can satisfy Krishna in his fight. Like that. And there were no qualified demons. There were no powerful demons who could have such virya rasa with Krishna. That's why Krishna had to send Jaya and Vijay to become Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and then he has some fighting pleasure. Shankham dadmo vinirgatya harirdaruka sarathi tato abhut parasainyanam hridivista hridivitra savepatu.
As Lord Krishna came out of the city with Daruka at the reins of his chariot, he blew his conch shell and the enemy soldiers' herds began to tremble with fear.
So conch shell, Krishna blew conch shell, that created terror in the hearts of Jarasandha's army. On the other hand, in the first canto we will see, Krishna would enter Dwaraka and blows his conch shell. Then that woke up all the Dwarakavasis from a state of melancholy. They were so distressed because of long separation from Krishna. So by blowing his conch shell, Krishna gave them a lot of encouragement. And Krishna enlivened all of them. But here, on the other hand, enemies are getting terrorized. So Krishna's same activity can create different emotions in different categories of people depending on their consciousness. Okay, devotees feel encouraged, feel enlivened by Krishna's blow of conch shell. Demons, they feel terrified by Krishna's blow of conch shell. 17th verse, Jarasandha chastises Krishna. Tavahamagadho vikshya he Krishna Purushadhama Natvaya yodhum muchhami Balenaikena lajjaya Guptena hitvaya manda Nayodseya hi bandhuhan.
Jarasandha looked at the two of them and said, "O Krishna, lowest of men, I do not wish to fight alone with you, since it would be a shame to fight with a mere boy. You fool who keep yourself hidden, O murderer of your relatives, go away. I will not fight with you."
Tav aham agadho vikshya he Krishna Purushadhama. So Jarasandha is chastising Krishna. He is giving bad words to Krishna. Purushadhama, And it's a tradition and it's the habit of all Vaishnavacharyas to convert all these negative words into the most positive glorifications of Krishna. Like that Acharyas give several explanations of these words also. Purusha Adhama. Purusha Adhama. Adhama means someone who is inferior. Purusha. So to this Purusha, Krishna, everyone else is inferior. That's why he is called Purushadhama. Literally it could mean that he is the most lowest of the men. But the other explanation is, to this man, in comparison to this man, everyone is lower. Okay. Then, Natvaya Yodhum Ichhami. I am not at all interested to fight with you. So what does it mean? I am not interested to fight with you because I am ashamed to fight with you because I am not qualified to fight with you. So, Lajjaya. Lajjaya means I am ashamed because I am not qualified. Balena ikena lajjaya. Balena. So, balena means you are a mere boy. So, this balena ikena can also be read as balike naiva. Balake naiva. Sometimes it is read like that, balake naiva. So balake naiva means balake. You know the meaning of Keshava? Keshava means, K means Brahma. Sha means Shiva. Keshava means the Lord of Brahma and Shiva. So here the K, the word K indicates Brahma. Balaka means, in comparison to Krishna, Ka, Brahma is a bala, Brahma is a child. Right? Balaka. So, Brahma is also a child in comparison with you. What about me? Okay, I am in no way comparison to you. I am ashamed of fighting with you because I am not qualified. Then, Guptena. Guptena means I don't desire to fight with you because you are hidden in the hearts of different every living entity. Because you are hidden, how can I fight with you? That's what it means. Guptena. Hitvaya manda. Manda, hi tvaya manda, if you divide the sandhi, tvaya amanda can also come. This manda can be read as amanda. So, amanda means, it's written in the purport also. In this case, Jarasandha is indicating that Krishna is not foolish, but rather most alert. Amanda. Manda means foolish. Amanda means not foolish. Means it's very alert. He's not spaced out. He's very alert. Then, na yotsye yahi bandhuhan. Bandhuhan means one who kills relatives, literally. Bandhuhan. Bandha means what? Bondage. Bandhuhan means one who releases one from bondage. You can relieve everyone from bondage of material existence. That's what bandhuhan means. Then, na yotsye yahi govinda. Yahi means please go. Indicates that Krishna should approach the living beings and bless them to become Krishna consciousness. Yahi, go. So go for what? To deliver everyone. That's what Jarasandha felt. Jarasandha's words can be interpreted like this. And Tvaya Manda can also indicate that Krishna is most alert and he is the very important person. Like that. Guptena means he is hidden. Okay, we discussed all that. And Jiva Goswami gives an interesting commentary. So you can read it personally. He sticks to the negative aspect of this only. He gives connections between different words of these verses. Now Jarasandha spoke to Balram. After chastising Krishna, he spoke to Balramji. Tavarama yadi shraddha yudhyasvadhairyamudhava Udvaha hitvava machirais chinnam deham svarya himam jahi.
You, Rama, should gather your courage and fight with me if you think you can do it. You may either give up your body when it is cut to pieces by my arrows and thus again then attain to heaven or else kill me.
Or else kill me. So this is the most practical alternative. First he said, you kill me, I will kill you, or you will kill me. Means this should have more weightage than the earlier one. like that. So he says, go away from me, you will give up your body. So what does that mean? Balaramji, you should go away from me because I am very sinful. Okay, and where you should go? You should go to Vaikuntha, leaving here my dead body. That's what Jarasandha meant, according to Acharya's commentaries. Now Krishna gives a sarcastic reply to Jarasandha. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Navaishura Vikathante Darshayantyeva Paurusham Nagrihimno Nagrihnimo Vacho Rajan Aturasya Mumurshataha.
Supreme Lord said, real heroes do not simply boast, but rather show their prowess in action. We cannot take seriously the words of the one who is full of anxiety and who wants to die.
This is most sarcastic. Externally you are showing such brave words and then showing up so much, but inside you are trembling, I know that. So you see what is it? It affects the confidence of the other person very much. So Krishna, very simply with his words only, he chastised Jarasandha. So heroes do not show bravery by praising themselves. They will show, they will speak by action, not just words. That's what Krishna said. Aturasya mumurshataha. So you are aturasya, you are mentally so agitated and anxious completely, and you are just about to die. What you are speaking? How can we take your word seriously? That's what Krishna said. Very damagingly he spoke. Sri Shuka Uvacha Jarasutastava Abhishrutya Madhavau Mahabalaughena Baliya Savrinot Sasainyayana Dhvajavaji Sarathi Suryanalauvayurivabhra Renubhi.
Shukdev Goswami said, just as the wind covers the sun with clouds or a fire with dust, the son of Jara marched toward the two descendants of Madhu and with his huge assemblage of armies surrounded them and their soldiers, chariots, flags, horses and charioteers.
See, Sukadeva Goswami is also very intelligently describing this whole fight. So, in description, by the choice of words, one can, you know, indicate very deep meaning. The words were very eloquent, very few, but that indicate a very great deep meaning. Here he said, Jarasandha's army covered Krishna and Balaram just like sun is covered by clouds. Can sun be covered by clouds? So that's what it means. And just like fire is covered by dust, or because of the influence of wind, fire is covered by dust, with big fire. Does it affect the fire in any way? No. It cannot affect fire, it cannot, clouds cannot affect sun. Similarly, although Jarasandha's army is so huge, that cannot affect Krishna and Balaram. And these words, you see, Jarasutaha. Jarasutaha means Krishna, Jarasandha is the son of Jara. So, for certain reasons, because of various pastimes, Jarasandha was born in two halves. A Rakshasi named Jara, she, with her mystic powers, you know, she joined those two parts, okay, and made Jarasandha. And that also indicates, Jarasutaha also indicates, that because of Jara being his mother, Jarasandha had very high superhuman powers given by Jara. On the other hand, Krishna and Balaram are addressed as Madhavau. Madhavau means descendants of Madhu dynasty. That indicates that Krishna and Balaram are enacting human pastimes. Jarasandha is having superhuman powers. Krishna and Balaram are acting like human beings. Still, they are supreme lords, they will only win. Although Jarasandha has superhuman powers and these people are only acting like human beings, still they are always superior. So that's what Sukadeva Goswami is indicating. Then Suryanalo Vayur Ivabhara Renubhi, that we discussed. Then Krishna and Balaram shone like sun and fire combined together. That's another comparison. So Krishna and Balaram, they are compared to sun and fire. Okay, that's another comparison. 21st verse. Suparnatala dhvaja chihnitau rathau alakshayantyo harirama yor mridhe
alakshayantyo harirama yor mridhe
striya puratalaka harmya gopuram samashrita hasam muhumuhu suchardita.
Men stood in the watchtowers, palaces and high gates of the city. When they could no longer see Krishna's and Balaram's chariots, identified by banners marked with the emblems of Garuda and a palm tree, they were struck with grief and fainted.
So you can imagine how high are the towers of Mathura. So in Mathura there are big buildings, multi-storied buildings. On those balconies they could see what's happening outside the gate, this fight. And the whole city is surrounded by so much army, and Krishna and Balaram are fighting with them. So amongst such millions of people around, all these women are focusing on Krishna and Balaram. They could be seen very distinctly because of their brilliance. That is Krishna and Balaram. They can spot, here is Krishna and Balaram. And one thing is, they are clearly visible to the senses, and their mind is always connected to Krishna and Balaram, so they could see them very easily. And after seeing them in the midst of such huge army, they were fainting. They were becoming unconscious out of great love and affection for Krishna and Balaram. So these women only have had lot of anxiety when Krishna and Balaram entered the wrestling arena and they were fighting with Chanuru Mushtik and Shala Toshala Kota, big people. They were saying this unfair match. How can such small tender boys fight with this huge mountain like wrestlers? So they were thinking like that. So they always had such soft hearted affection towards Krishna and Balaram. Now they are fainting seeing that. Here Sukadeva Goswami uses the word Hari Ramayor Mridhe, second line. Alakshayantyo Hari Ramayor Mridhe. Hari means Krishna, who attracted the minds of all these women. Then Rama, Balaram, means he gives pleasure to their minds. Krishna attracts their minds, Rama gives pleasure to their minds. That's why Sukadeva Goswami gave this and used these words. And women are specifically mentioned here because they are more attracted to Krishna and Balaram than men. That's why women's anxiety is more specifically mentioned here. Hari Hari Paranika Payo Mujammuhu Shilimukhatyulbanavarsha Piditam Swasainyamalokya Sura Surarchitam Vyaspurjayat Shringa Surasanottamam.
Seeing his army tormented by the relentless and savage rain of arrows from the massive opposing forces gathered like clouds about him, Lord Hari twanged his excellent bow, Sharanga, which both gods and demons worship.
So seeing his army tormented by relentless rain of arrows from Jarasandha's party. So Krishna Balaram's army is very small compared to the 23 Akshohinis of Jarasandha's army. They are mentioned that they are tormented. Means arrows are coming towards them, but they are not wounded. They are not dying. Okay, they are completely protected under Krishna and Balaram's leading of the army. So they are tormented here doesn't mean that they are harmed in any way. They are on Krishna's party. They are on Balaram's party. How can they be harmed? So they are not even wounded at all. So just having some wound or cut on battlefield is the most common thing. That's the minimum thing that should happen to a soldier. That also did not happen to Krishna Balaram's party. Now, here what amazing event has happened next. That is in 23rd verse. Ghranan nishangat athasan dadhat sharan vikrishya munchan sitavana pungan nighanan rathan kunjaravajipattin nirantaram yadvadalata chakram.
Lord Krishna took arrows from his quiver, fixed them on the bowstring, pulled back, released endless torrents of the sharp shafts, which struck the enemy's chariots, elephants, horses, infantrymen. The Lord shooting his arrows resembled a blazing circle of fire.
See this beautiful comparison. So, Krishna appeared to be doing millions of actions at once. Krishna is there in the middle, and Jarasandha's army surrounding all sides around him. So Krishna is shooting arrows continuously, like this, right? He's in the middle. Somebody just takes this, for example, there is fire here. You just rotate like this, so it looks like a fire circle, right? It's like fire circle. So then Krishna is releasing armies like that and smashing all of them. Okay? So that is looking like a fire circle around Krishna. And Krishna is effulgently being in the center of that fire circle. He is glowing. And once you just throw one arrow on that party, there is like a big bomb blast there. That bomb blast is happening continuously throughout the circumference of the army. Like that, the Lord shooting his arrows resembled a blazing circle of fire. Next, 24th verse. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami is saying, the wonderful event that has happened. Nirantaram means relentlessly, continuously. He was not taking gaps. If there is gap, you can't see full circle. You will see semicircle or some circle with some gaps here and there. Circle of fire means he is continuously shooting arrows. So the way Krishna plays his flute so expertly and enchants animate and inanimate living beings in this earthly planet, in the heavenly planet, similarly Krishna can, with the same expertise, he can use his saranga bow also.
Nirbhinna kumbha karino nipetur Anekashosvaha Sharavrikna Kandharaha Rathahata Svadhvajasutanayakaha Padayatas Chinna Bhujoru Kandharaha. Elephants fell to the ground, their foreheads split open. Cavalry's horses fell with the severed necks. Chariots fell with their horses, flags, drivers, and masters all shattered, and foot soldiers collapsed with severed arms, thighs, and shoulders.
So, elephants fell to the ground, their foreheads split open. You see, such huge foreheads, they just got opened. So like that. We can understand all these 23 Akshohini divisions. For soldiers or horses or elephants, thousands of them, lakhs of them, they're all part and parcels of Krishna. Right? So they all emanated from Krishna. Constitutionally, they are all eternal servants of Krishna. By killing them, you see, Krishna is not merciless by killing them. Krishna is very merciful by killing them. Seeing them in such a degraded state of consciousness, of fighting with the Supreme Lord, the worshipable Supreme Lord only, Krishna took mercy upon them and killing them and thus liberating them. So that is Krishna's mercy. Tathaiva janye naraloka veeraya ahave krishna mukha aravindam. नेत्रैः पिबन्तो नयनाभिरामं पार्थास्त्रपूतं स्वयमाशुदत्ते. सो कृष्णा, वन्स द लिविंग एंटिटी कमिट सच अबॉमिनेबल हॉरिबल एक्शंस, कृष्णा वुड कंटिन्यूअसली अकंपनी दैट सोल एज सुपर सोल, राइट, गाइड्स हिज एक्शंस. बट वेन ही बिकम्स सो डिग्रेडेड, कृष्णा हैज ओनली वन ऑप्शन, किल देम एंड लिबरेट देम. At least they will go to, you know, impersonal Brahman and then stay there for some time. So now only mercy can deliver him. He is not doing any parishram. He is not doing any endeavor to come back to Krishna. I have to show him mercy. So I will show him mercy in this way, at least, by killing them. That's what Krishna is doing. So next four verses describe the scene of the battlefield that looked like a river, blood river, and you know, there are some islands of elephant bodies, there are some twigs and flowers that are flowing on the river, right? So they are like cut arms of the soldiers. Sometimes there is some snakes in the river, so they are like the, you know, different bodies and legs and thighs of all the soldiers. So that scene is described in next four verses. Someone please read the translation.
Field. Hundreds of rivers of blood flowed from the limbs of the humans, elephants and horses who had been cut to the pieces. In these rivers, arms resembled snakes, human heads, turtles, dead elephants, islands, and dead horses, crocodiles. Hands and thighs appeared like fish, human hair like water weeds, bows like waves, and various weapons like clumps of bushes. The rivers of blood teemed with all of these.
Even while describing this horrible scene also, Sukadeva Goswami is very poetic. Comparing different human hairs are like weeds. You see, something is like crocodile, something is like a tortoise in water. Yeah.
Chariot wheels look like terrifying whirlpools, and precious gems ornaments resembled stones and gravel in the rushing red rivers, which aroused fear in the timid, joy in the wise.
Joy in the wise. So those who are in the mood of warriors, those who have a nature of warriors, they take pleasure in seeing this kind of scene. Those who are very soft-hearted and gentle and more on the softer side, so they become scared seeing this. Okay, Sukadeva Goswami is saying like that.
Yes. With the blows of his plow weapon, the immeasurably powerful Lord Balram destroyed Magadendra's military force.
Magadendra here is Jarasandha.
And though this force was an unfathomable and fearsome as an impassable ocean, for the two sons of Vasudev, the lords of the universe, the battle was hardly more than a play.
Hardly more than a play for Krishna and Balaram. So the purpose of enacting this whole, for creating this blood river around Mathura, was to take away the enthusiasm of Jarasandha to fight. At the same time, Krishna leaves him with life so that he will continue to get more people. And it was only a play for Krishna and Balaram. Right? The play was the highest interest of Krishna and Balaram. Relieving earth's burden is a byproduct. It's an accompanying result. But Krishna and Balaram are just playing. Krishna is Rasaraj. He just wants to take pleasure in every activity that he does. Now through his fighting, he is taking pleasure. And reducing the earth's burden is just only a mere result. It's only an accompanying byproduct. Stityodbhavam bhuvanata bhuvana trayasyaya Stityodbhavantam bhuvanatrayasyaya Samihite anantaguna svalilaya Natasya chitram parapakshanigrahas Tathapi martya anuvidhasya varnyate.
For him who orchestrates the creation, maintenance and destruction of the three worlds, and who possesses unlimited spiritual qualities, it is hardly amazing that he subdues an opposing party. Still, when the Lord does so, imitating human behavior, sages glorify his acts.
So this fighting incident is very elaborately described, and the result is like the massacre is described so elaborately. It's not a big thing for Krishna. What glory is there if you say that someone has done this? For someone who has published 100 books, for him to write one small two paragraph article for an insignificant newspaper in some certain corner is not a big glory, right? And someone who has managed a 1,000 crore project, for him to spend 50 rupees or 100 rupees to buy certain thing, to buy these items from a supermarket is not a big thing, right? Similarly, sthiti udbhava antam bhuvanatrayasyaha. Krishna orchestrates the creation, maintenance and destruction of all bhuvanatraya, of all the three worlds, repeatedly. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Samihate ananta gunaha svalilaya. Ananta gunaha. He has unlimited transcendental qualities. For such a person, to just fight with 23 Akshohini soldiers is not a big deal. So there is not much glory. This is not, if you enumerate all glories of Krishna, just fighting with Jarasandha's army is very insignificant among that big list, right? He has thousands of awards from different recognized universities, and someone gave him one small flower, right? What will he do with this? It's not a big thing. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is comparing. Where is Krishna and where is this small insignificant fight? It's not a big thing for Krishna. He's saying like that. So natasya chitram parapaksha nigraha. Natasya chitram, it's not very wonderful. Tathapi martyanu vidhasya varnyate. Tathapi, still, although it is not such a wonderful thing for Krishna and Balaram, tathapi, still, martyanu vidhasya varnyate. It is described because Krishna is enacting human pastimes. For a human being, this is wonderful. For one or two human beings, which are 10-15 soldiers, destroying 23 Akshohini divisions of army is definitely a wonderful incident. So that's why it is described. For Lord Ram, who can, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? One of his expansions can do creation, maintenance and destruction of this world. For him to destroy 14 Akshohinis or whatever, 40,000 soldiers of Kara and Dushana sent by Surpanaka is not a big deal. But he did it in 45 minutes or 1 hour. He is glorified for it because he is playing the role of a human prince. Okay, who is staying in forests. For that, it is a very wonderful thing. But literally seeing, factually seeing, it's not a big thing. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is emphasizing here. It's an uninteresting mismatch when he fights against Jarasandha. Why would he at all bother to fight with Jarasandha? Right, it's not a big thing for Krishna and Balaram. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj says, the maximum display of Krishna's potency, Krishna's powers and Krishna's energy is seen in His relation with His devotees. When Krishna sits in the midst of thousands of gopas, okay, and takes some prasadam, and every gopa perceives Krishna as if Krishna is reciprocating with him only. Krishna is right seeing him only. Every gopa perceives like that. Right? If so many people are around a person, he cannot see the person behind him. He can have eye-to-eye contact only with one person, not with everyone. But Krishna can have eye-to-eye contact with every single gopa around him, whether he's sitting next to him or in front of him or behind him or 1 kilometer behind him. He can have eye-to-eye contact and reciprocation with all of them. That is Krishna's inconceivable potency. Okay, that is the worth glorifying thing of Krishna. That is most glorifiable thing. But this is insignificant. That's what Sukadeva Goswami compares. The Lord plays the part of human being and expanding His pleasure potency creates thrilling transcendental pastimes full of suspense and dynamic action. These are all human pastimes which are enacted for the happiness of the souls of all of us, for our pleasure.
So the beauty and drama, even on material stage, possess their own fascinating logic. And similarly, we love Krishna for his own sake. So Krishna executes his pastimes not for a mundane, egoistical purpose, but for our pleasure. Thus, the presentation of spiritual pastimes is itself an act of love. Why Krishna is enacting this kind of pastimes, although they are insignificant for him, he need not bother to do all that, so that we can sit here and discuss now and then glorify him. That is Krishna's love for all of us. So out of his love for the souls in this material world, he sometimes enacts this kind of pastimes and creates subject matter for us to discuss. So that Krishna performs for the infinite spiritual happiness of pure-hearted souls who have transcended material envy of the Godhead. So when there is no envy towards a person, when I don't envy a person, whatever he does gives pleasure to me. Just one example. In ninth canto, Samudra would come out of his great ocean, personified. Samudra personified comes in front of Lord Ram and says, "You can walk on the surface of my waters also, but I want you to build a bridge with stones. I will take care that stones will not drown in my ocean. Stones will float, right? You construct a bridge on the surface of my waters, and my desire is that you will be glorified for this building of bridge, right? I just want to see you glorified in future for the rest of eternity. For that purpose, you make these bridges. Otherwise, you can just jump here and Hanumanji, your devotee, by taking your name, he jumped across my ocean. What to speak of you? You can easily cross. You can walk, or you can disappear here and appear there. You can do everything. You are kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. But still, I want you to do the endeavor of making the bridge, so that people will glorify you. So devotees always want to see Krishna glorified for his magnanimous and brilliant activities like this, and to give them an opportunity to glorify him, Krishna enacts these pastimes. But technically speaking, it is not a great, wonderful activity of Krishna to kill Jarasandha or fight with their army. Yes, sir.
In one purport, Prabhupada writes that the Lord's pastimes in Kurukshetra are like this in Mathura and Dwaraka also, and killing of the demons and everything. And these pastimes are as important as the sweet pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, you know. And there is no difference, Prabhupada says, that because ultimately Lord is the center of these pastimes. Mm-hmm. And the devotees should relish both, he writes. But secretly within our heart, we have more appreciation for Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. And these other pastimes where there's a lot of blood flowing in the battle and ghastly warfare, you know, and the descriptions are also very ghastly. Later on in Krishna book I was reading, there I heard about Krishna killing Dandavakra, and similarly Krishna defeating
all Shalva, this, Bana.
Banasara and all these things. So sometimes we read them, but we don't speak them with great relish when we go for the lectures and that. So how do we see that all our large pastimes, and we should see them on an equal level, that I want to know.
I'll present my understanding, Guru. If it is wrong, you can please correct me. Actually, different devotees have different liking and different taste for Krishna's pastimes. It's not wrong to have certain inclination or favor towards certain pastimes of Krishna. So according to his taste and liking and his comfort level, he can speak and relish certain sections, definitely. But Prabhupada always discourages that one should not jump into Ras Panchadhyaya and confidential pastimes of Krishna. One should go through systematically verse by verse. So my understanding is devotee respects every single activity that Krishna does. Every pastime of Krishna is very important. But Everybody is an individual. He has certain liking for certain pastime more than this. So that kind of flexibility may be there. If we ask some devotee, what is your most favorite relishable episode in this, in Bhagavatam? He will say, I like Gajendra pastime so much. I like Dhruva Maharaj pastime so much. I like Prahlad Maharaj pastime so much. So he may say that, but that doesn't mean he has disrespect or disinclination towards other pastimes. So my understanding is that one should have equal respect and reverence on the potency, greatness of every pastime of Krishna. At the same time, it's not wrong to have special liking and favoritism towards certain pastimes. Some people like this fighting episode so much, right? They relish anything. They become more alert and attentive while when these fighting pastimes are there. We have a few people, they get excited. Krishna killing comes. Some people get more excited when Krishna is playing with cowherd boys. Some people get more excited when Yashodama is chasing Damodar. Different people have different likings, tastes. But everyone should have respect for everything. That's what I think. Is that all right? Yadya dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattattvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. So different devotees may have liking for different forms of the Lord, and Krishna is willing to reciprocate with those devotees in those forms. So it's like Hanumanji says, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, no problem, but I like Ram. So that is his mood. So yeah, that is acceptable, to have special liking for certain pastimes or certain forms of the Lord, certain deities. That's why we have so many deities of Vrindavan. When we say Gopinath, hey Radha Gopinath, hey Madhu Pandit Pranadhana, hey. That doesn't mean Jiva Goswami doesn't like Gopinath. Right? He has respect for Gopinath also, but his Pranadhana is Radha Damodar. So there is liking also, and respect for everything else. 30th verse. Jagraha viratham Ramo Jarasandham Mahabalam Hatanika Vasishtadum Simha Simham Ivojasa.
Jarasandha, with his chariot lost and all his soldiers dead, was left with only his breath. At that point, Lord Balaram forcibly seized the powerful warrior just as one lion takes hold of another.
Badhyamanam hatarartim Pashair Varuna Manushaihi Varayamasa Govinda Tena Karya Chikirshaya.
Divine news of Varuna and other mortal ropes, Balaram began tying up Jarasandha, who had killed so many foes. But Lord Govinda still had a purpose to fulfill through Jarasandha, and thus he asked Balaram to stop.
So Jarasandha was defeated, all his soldiers were dead, and our Balaramji came with Varuna Pasha to bind him, and also with some mortal ropes also. Varuna Pasha is very powerful, and to insult Jarasandha, he got some ordinary ropes also. Warrior is there, you tie with some ordinary rassi, and you can just do like this and then it will break. But Balaramji, to insult Jarasandha, got some ordinary rassi and then tied him around. And Krishna protected Jarasandha from Balaramji. So Jarasandha is doing great service. Although he is having a negative intent, his service is very useful for Krishna. So Krishna had the responsibility to protect him. So Krishna protected Jarasandha. Don't bind him or arrest him or kill him, my dear Balaram. Leave him so that he will get more people. He will do our service. He is doing our service very nicely. So we should keep him. So with this we can take a lesson also for our practical application. So somebody may not be doing, you know, may not be very efficient in doing certain service, but he is doing some service. Although he is just angry, he is just throwing things here and there, he just deals with a little harshly, still he is doing some useful service, right? So we should have good disposition towards him also. Next, Jarasandha gets some Markata Vairagya from this verse onwards, 32nd verse. Samukto lokanathabhyam vridito vira sammata tapase krita sankalpo varita pathi rajabhi vakyaihi pavitrartha padair nayanaihi prakritairapi svakarma bandha praptoyam yadubhiste parabhava.
Jarasandha, whom fighters had highly honored, was ashamed after being released by the two lords of the universes. And thus he decided to undergo penances. On the road, however, several kings convinced him with both spiritual wisdom and mundane arguments that he should give up the idea of self-abnegation. They told him, your defeat by the Yadus was simply the unavoidable reaction of your past karma.
So these are interesting set of verses here. Samukto lokanathabhyam. Krishna and Balaram are lokanatha. Right? They were interested in benefiting the earth. Because they were interested in benefiting the earth, they released Jarasandha. Releasing Jarasandha is causing benefit for earth. How? Because he will recruit more armies so that Krishna can kill. Right? That's why they are called Lokanatha Abhyam. And Jarasandha said, I will go for austerity. I will go and do some austerity. I am defeated. What is the use of me? Kuch kaam ka nahi. So I will go and do some tapasya. I will give up my kshatriya dharma. I will take the dharma of some sadhu and then do some tapasya in some forest. That's what he felt. So external reason for Jarasandha's austerity is, I will no longer follow the path of Kshatriya Dharma because I am defeated as a Kshatriya. But the internal reason for Jarasandha's austerity is, I will attain greater power to defeat Krishna and Balaram. That is his intention. So all the kings came, Jarasandha's associates. So whenever somebody is doing taking some extreme decision, his friends and associates will come and then pacify him, stop him, relax. No need to go to extremes. Still there is some grey area, come here. So king said, austerity is meant for aged Kshatriyas. You are not so aged, you are not so old. And austerity is meant for detached Kshatriyas. I don't think you are detached. You are quite attached. Then, it is improper to give up Kshatriya Dharma because of shame. You are feeling shame, that's why you are giving up Kshatriya Dharma. But winning and losing are common for Kshatriyas. Right? So there is no cause of dejection. You cannot give up Kshatriya Dharma because you are lost. Because winning and losing will happen for a Kshatriya. Victory or defeat, no shame. And they give an interesting comparison. You are like a lion. Krishna is like a black deer. Whether the lion catches the deer or not, lion is lion, deer is deer. Right? Krishna will remain as a timid deer only, always inferior to the lion like Jarasandha, Simha. So, like with that convincing stupid arguments, they pacified him and stopped him from going for austerities. Okay? And definitely you were defeated not because of lack of courage. You were defeated because of your past karma. So if you lack courage, then you can give up Kshatriya Dharma. You are still courageous warrior. So with that, they kind of pacified him. Please read the next translation.
Jarasandha's armies having been killed and himself neglected by the personality of Godhead, King Jarasandha, the son of Brihadratha, then sadly returned to the kingdom of the Magadhas.
Yeah, continue.
Lord Mukunda had crossed the ocean of his enemy's armies with his own military force completely intact. He received congratulations from the denizens of heaven, who showered him with the flowers. The people of Mathura, relieved of their feverish anxiety and filled with the joy, came out to meet him as professional bards, heralds, and panegyrists sang in the praise of his victory. As the Lord entered his city, conch shells and kettle drums.
Just a minute. So this particular verse, 35th verse, is quoted by Acharyas in the commentary of 22nd verse, where it is said that seeing his army tormented by the relentless rain of arrows, you see, so they were tormented but they were not wounded. So here 35th verse is the proof that Lord Mukunda's armies are completely intact. So only very few people accompanied them. None of them were having any wounds or anything like that. So Lord Mukunda defeated. So why Krishna is specifically called Mukunda in 35th verse? Mukunda means one who releases, one who liberates. So here Krishna liberated Jarasandha from bondage of Balram or Varunupash. So that's why he's called Mukunda. Next, 37th verse. Yeah, how Krishna is welcomed is described here. Sota Magada Vandibhi. So those who are professional bards, they are called with this name, Sota Magada Vandibhi. Where else it comes? Ritu Maharaj. And where else? Sota Magada Vandibhi. That is this. And earlier, I don't think that word is mentioned there. Parikshit Maharaj's incident also it might come. I think it comes in Parikshit Maharaj's... Prithu Maharaj it comes. Prithu Maharaj Vandibhi. Professional bards. And Nanda Maharaj, Nandotsav, in that context also it comes. So, as the Lord entered his city, conch shells and kettle drums sounded and many drums, horns, veenas, flutes and mridangas played in concert. The boulevards were sprinkled with water. There were banners everywhere, and the gateways were decorated for celebration. The citizens were elated, and the city resounded with the chanting of Vedic hymns. As the women of the city affectionately looked at the Lord, their eyes wide open with love, they scattered flower garlands, yogurt, parched rice, and newly gone sprouts upon Krishna. Next. Ayodhanagatam Vittam Anantam Virabhushanam Yaturajaya Yatsarvam Ahritam Pradishat Prabhu.
Lord Krishna then presented to the Yadu king all the wealth that had fallen on the battlefield, namely the countless ornaments of the dead warriors.
So it is a normal practice amongst Kshatriyas that once they defeat the enemy party, they pick up their golden ornaments and other valuables. And to show off, Kshatriyas would generally come with their elephants and horses fully decorated with golden ornaments also. So once they are defeated, all that will go to the enemy's treasury. And Krishna did not personally take all of them. So Krishna was indifferent to such wealth. So Krishna was just observing the rules of etiquette that, okay, once I defeat certain army, I have to present this and give it to the king. He is just observing that etiquette. Otherwise, he is not interested in that wealth. He is Lakshmipati. Why he needs the ornaments of dead soldiers and horses and elephants. And on material standards, the value of all these ornaments is beyond estimate. 23 Akshohinis. Each fellow is decorated with valuable golden ornaments. Elephant, itna bada hai. So you just have one golden necklace around elephant and on the trunk there is some, the triangular decorative element. How much it would cost? How many kilos of gold is that? And like that there are, you know, millions of elements, you know, hundreds, thousands of elements. So, Hridayananda Goswami and team, they give beautiful lessons in this purport. It is out of causeless mercy of the Lord that He gives the conditioned souls a taste of their own medicine, and this helps them become more sensitive to the laws of nature and the existence of Supreme God. Krishna awarded Jarasandha and others killed in the battlefield supreme liberation. The Lord is strict, but He is not malicious. He is an ocean of mercy. He kills. He is strict. Oh, you are a miscreant, I will kill you. That is His strictness. But I will liberate you. That is His mercy. By killing you, I will liberate you. 41st verse. 17 times the king of Magadha met defeat in this very way. In this very way means, he will come with 23 Akshohini soldiers. Okay. And he would be defeated by Krishna. There will be river of blood around Mathura. And Krishna will take up all the ornaments and increase the treasury of Mathura. And after every defeat, Jarasandha says, I will go to forest. Okay. And his intention is, I will not follow Kshatriya Dharma because I am defeated. But internally he was thinking, I will attain greater power to defeat Krishna and Balaram. And all the kings would come. Austerity is not meant for young Kshatriyas. Austerity is meant for old kings, right? And it is improper to give up Kshatri Dharma because of shame. And you were not defeated because of lack of courage. You were defeated only because of your karma, right? And austerity is meant for detached people. We are so attached. So by giving all these arguments, so they will pacify Jarasandha and take him back to kingdom, not to the forest. So like that this happened. Mathura to Bihar, traveling 17 times, Jarasandha. And while going back, he has nothing, no chariot, no horse, nothing. He has to walk alone and gather everyone again. So Krishna's army is unharmed, all 17 times. Next. And yet, throughout these defeats, he fought on with his Akshohini divisions against the forces of Vidu dynasty who were protected by Krishna. 42nd verse. Akshinvam stadbalam sarvam Vrishnaya Krishna tejasa Hateshu sveshu anikeshu Tyaktoga aribhir nripa.
By the power of Lord Krishna, the Vrishnis would inevitably annihilate all the Jarasandha's force. And when all the soldiers had been killed, the king released by his enemies would again go away.
So this is another point here. But Krishna did not personally take part in fight, in the later fights. Vrishnis would annihilate Jarasandha's forces. You see, in the 42nd verse. Vrishnaya Krishna Tejasa. Empowered by the power of Krishna, Vrishnis have defeated Jarasandha's army. So Krishna need not personally fight also. So just as the 18th battle was about to take place, a barbarian warrior named Kalayavana, sent by Narada, appeared on the battlefield. Suddenly. So Jarasandha's army is about to come, and this fellow Kalayavana also. Kalayavana already came with 3 crore soldiers, 30 million. So, arriving at Mathura, this Yavana laid siege to the city with 30 million barbarian soldiers. He had why he has come? Because there are some warriors who have Yuddha Kanduti. They always want to find an opponent who can match their prowess. Hiranyaksha is one best example. He's going to Varuna. They will just go and inspire and force and push other people. Fight with me, fight with me. I want to fight. Sahasra? Kartavirya Arjun. Banasura also? Okay. So they always want to find some, you know, matching opponent. So because he is so obsessed with the thought of finding a matching opponent, Narada Muni came to him and said, oh, Krishna is there. He defeated Jarasandha 17 times. he can be a best match for you. He wears lotus garland. He is bluish in complexion. And he just glorifies Krishna's form so much. He says he is the right match for you. So Kalayavana comes to attack Mathura with so many million soldiers. So there is a background story. So there is Gargamuni, you know, and his son's name is Gargya. Once this Gargya was ridiculed by his brother-in-law. You are a eunuch. So his brother-in-law just made fun of Gargya like this. So some Yadus were there and they laughed at Gargya. Because this fun is going on, they laughed. Then Gargya said, I will beget a son who can kill, who can cause fear to all these Yadus. Right? He is ridiculing me as eunuch out of joke or whatever, and they are laughing. I am not eunuch. Okay, I will produce a son and then make them, you know, terrified. He became like that, and he went and worshipped Lord Shiva. And Shiva benedicted him. You will be able to produce a son who can terrorize Yadus, who can create fear in Yadus. Then he came back, and there is one king, Yavana's king. He is not getting a son. So Gargya went to Yavana king and said, I will impregnate your wife with a son who is he's so powerful and he can create fear in Yadus also. So he impregnates Yavana Raja's wife, and that son is Kalayavana. Now Kalayavana is coming to fight with Krishna. Okay, that is the background story. So when Kalayavana came, Kalayavana is coming, Krishna told Balram, see, this great danger is threatening Yadus from both sides. So Jarasandha is about to come. Right, he is on the way from Bihar to Mathura. He is already on the way. And Kalayavana has already come with, you know, 30 million soldiers. Now we have to do something to protect all the Yadus. He did not immediately annihilate the army of Kalayavana, thus keeping intact the benediction granted by Gargya to by Lord Shiva. Now, Shiva gave benediction to Gargya that Gargya's son Kalayavana would terrorize Yadus, and Krishna is not obliged to follow that. Krishna can kill Kalayavana. Yadus need not be terrified by Kalayavana, but to keep Lord Shiva's benediction intact, Krishna enacted this pastime of running away from Mathura, from Kalayavana. So Krishna, being a part of Yadu dynasty, he apparently got fearful of Kalayavana and then ran away when Kalayavana was chasing him. And Yadus also ran away from Mathura to Dwarka. So that is the pastime here. Kalayavana wanted a proper opponent to fight. So Narada Muni said, Krishna is your proper opponent. Krishna has the ability to fight with you. No one else can. Yeah, just like Varuna told Hiranyaksha. So 46. This Yavana is besieging us already, and the mighty king of Magadha will soon arrive here. If not today, then tomorrow or next day. If powerful Jarasandha comes while we are busy fighting with Kalayavana, Jarasandha may kill our relatives or he may take them. Jarasandha may kill our relatives who are fighting, and Jarasandha may take away our relatives who are not fighting. That's what Krishna told Balram. Now, we will read 48th verse. Tasmat adya vidhasyamo durgam dvipada durgamam Tatragnatin samadhaya yavanam ghatayamahe.
Therefore, we will immediately construct a fortress that no human force can penetrate. Let us settle our family members there and then kill the barbarian king.
So Krishna, now I am skipping the recitation of certain verses and translations. You are able to follow the flow first time?
So Krishna is planning to shift all Mathura Vasis to Dwarka. So why shift to Mathura? There are different reasons. The external reason is Kalayavana is attacking. Out of fear, they went. Kalayavana and Jarasandha, both are simultaneously attacking Mathura, so they have to hide in sea. That is the external reason, which is very popular. Internal reason is Krishna wanted to keep Shiva's benediction intact. Okay? That's why he acted fear and made Yadus flee. And he himself fled also. Another internal reason is Mathura will be very small in future. Krishna is about to marry Rukmini. Krishna is about to marry Satyabhama, Nagnajiti, and 8 principal queens, and 16,108 queens in future. And each of them will have 10 sons. And each of those 10 sons will have 10 more sons. Like that, Krishna himself will produce lakhs of progeny. And Balramji will produce, and all the other Yadus will produce progeny. And Mathura is a very small city. Right? It cannot accommodate so many people. So better shift to Dwarka and create a bigger city so that all these so many, you know, hundreds and millions of Yadus can stay comfortably. And each of them should have palaces. Right? That is the reason. So that population, Mathura cannot accommodate. Second, very important reason, Krishna's concern for Vrajavasis. So cowherds, the Vrajavasis, should not feel crowded by the constantly increasing population of Yadus. When Yadus are expanding so much in Mathura, they will touch Vrajavasis also, Vrindavan also. Right? It will be too much crowded for them. So that's one thing. Second, enemies should not feel that I am connected with Vraja. I am in contact with Vrindavan, right? Enemies will be constantly attacking Mathura, okay, because of enmity towards me. But they should not be directed towards Vrindavan. Oh, if we catch Vrajavasis, then Krishna will come in our captivity. So you see in certain movies also, villains will kidnap the mother or some parents or brother of the hero. And then they will threaten, showing this, right? Same thing. So enemies should attack me only, not my Vrajavasis, not my Vrindavan Vasis. So let me go to Dwarka. That is Krishna's intention. And we will kill barbarian king, he said. So then kill barbarian king. So not personally, through Muchukunda. We will kill him through Muchukunda. Because Shiva gave benediction, I will not kill unnecessarily. Let Muchukunda kill. I will take care of that. So he said like that. So after this discussing the matter with Balram, so Krishna had a fortress, 12 yojanas in circumference, right, built within the sea. Inside that fort, he had a city built containing all kinds of wonderful things. And other references say that the circumference is not 18 yojanas, total 30 yojanas are there. Some people say the diameter is 30 yojanas. So it's a huge city that can accommodate Yadu dynasty. That much we can understand. Okay. The details of Dwarka built by Vishwakarma are mentioned in the next 4 verses. Someone please read. Yes, Sachidaraj. He can read.
Construction of that city could be seen the full scientific knowledge and architectural skills of Vishwakarma. There are wide avenues, commercial roads and countryside laid out on the ample plots of land. There were splendid parks and also gardens stocked with trees and creepers from the heavenly planets. The gateway towers were topped with golden turrets touching the sky, and their upper levels were fashioned of crystal quartz. The gold-covered houses were adorned in front with golden pots and on top with the jeweled roofs, and their floors were inlaid with precious emeralds. Besides the houses stood treasury buildings, warehouses and stables for fine horses, all built of silver and brass. Each residence had a watchtower and also a temple for its household deity. Filled with citizens of all 4 social orders, the city was especially beautified by the palaces of Shri Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus. Mm.
So Jiva Goswami gives the locations and structures of different buildings and many other details in his commentary. Next, 54th verse. Sudharmam parijatam cha Mahendra prahinodhare yatra cha avasthito martyo martya dharma irna yujyate.
Lord Indra brought Sri Krishna the Sudharma assembly hall standing
so,
within.
Indra brought Sudharma hall. Actually Indra was not willing to give. Krishna took it by force. Okay. Next. Sudharmam parijatam cha. So parijata means there are varieties of parijata. Okay. This parijata is not that parijata which Krishna got for Satyabhama. These are other kinds of parijata. We have rose. There are different kinds of roses. Yellow rose. Then a desi rose, Dutch rose, different roses are there. Similarly, there are different parijatas. Okay. Next.
Standing within which a mortal man is not subjected to the laws of mortality, Indra also gave the parijata tree.
Next.
Horses as swift as the mind, some of which were pure dark blue, others white. The treasurer of the demigods, Kuvera, gave his 8 mystic treasures. And the rulers of various planets each presented their own opulences.
So there are 8 treasures of Kuvera. Nidhi, they are called Nidhi. Nidhi means treasure. So their names are given. Padma, Mahapadma, Matsya, Kurma Nidhi, Audaka Nidhi, Nela Nidhi, Mukunda Nidhi, Shankha Nidhi. If you go to Tirupati, Balaji temple, right at the entrance, the main gate from where you enter, so right side and left side there are 2 deities. They are the deities of Shankhanidhi and Padmanidhi. It is said like that. So they are treasures of Kuvera. And Balaji borrowed Lakshmi from Kuvera only for his marriage. Next, 56.
The Supreme Lord having come to the earth, O King, these demigods now offered him whatever powers of control he had previously delegated to them for the exercise of their particular authority. After transporting all his subjects to the new city by the power of his mystic yog maya, Lord Krishna consulted with Lord Balaram, who had remained in Mathura to protect it. Then wearing a garland of lotuses, but bearing no weapon, Lord Krishna went out of the Mathura by its main gate.
So Krishna is wearing garland of lotuses. Why? Because Narada Muni told Kalayavana that Krishna will wear garland of lotuses. So to match that description, Krishna started wearing garland of lotus. Then without any weapons, he is fleeing. So why he was having no weapons? Because he wanted to clearly indicate Kalayavana that I am here to run away only. I am not here to fight with you. I am afraid of you. So that is fulfilling Shiva's desire, Shiva's benediction. Okay. So how they were shifted? Just in the middle of the night, all the citizens of Mathura slept. And when they woke up, they found themselves in the palaces of Dwarka. That's how easy it was for Krishna to shift from Mathura to Dwarka. Okay, now we'll take a short break. After break, we'll begin the overview from 10.21 to 50. In 1.5 hours, whatever we can manage. It's all storyline only. We'll do very quickly.
परंतु अभिमन्यु परंतु कोई जो बाहर जो पीपीटी है वही
Krishna, Jida.